Nearly half of coronavirus tests in Nepal turn out positive, the surge being attributed to neighboring India. Meanwhile, a ship from India makes an emergency stop in Manila after a dozen of its Filipino crew get infected with COVID-19. Two top palace officials seeing a legal issue with President Duterte's order to arrest face mask violators. We'll discuss that with Nabota City Mayor Toby Tianco. And a U.S. proposal to waive the patent protections for COVID-19 vaccines gets the support of the EU. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. The latest surge in COVID-19 cases in India sparking an outbreak in neighboring Nepal. More than 40% of all coronavirus tests in Nepal are coming back positive. The Himalayan country reported 9,070 new COVID-19 cases Thursday, its highest single-day tally since the pandemic began. The surge comes after hundreds of thousands of Nepalese migrant workers returned home from India before the border was closed between both countries. There are now 360,000 COVID-19 infections in Nepal, with more than 3,400 fatalities. Well, just how bad is the COVID-19 situation in India? Due to a shortage in ambulances, patients there are now being transported by rickshaws. Take a look.
This auto rickshaw zooming down a street in New Delhi is ferrying a 60-year-old COVID-19 patient and her son to the hospital, as some of India's ubiquitous three-wheeled taxis have been turned into makeshift ambulances to help the country's collapsing healthcare system amid a devastating second wave of the coronavirus. Actual ambulances are hard to come by in India, which reported a record of more than 412,000 new cases and roughly 4,000 deaths on Thursday, dashing hopes that cases were peaking. With ambulance fleets unable to keep up with the surging cases, the Delhi government, with the help of a nonprofit organization, has mobilized more than a dozen auto rickshaws, equipped with hand sanitizers and face masks, while oxygen cylinders are provided on an as-needed basis.
New Delhi is choking under COVID-19, and I am providing this auto rickshaw ambulance service to help the public.
Auto rickshaw driver Raj Kumar, who now dons a full PPE suit, has stepped up to ferry patients to and from Delhi's largest hospital, which is overflowing with COVID-19 patients.
Obviously, everyone is scared. But if everyone stays home because they are scared, then who's going to go out and help those in need? So all of us will have to come out of our homes and serve the common people by any means possible, be it with money or power. We must all help each other.
The auto rickshaw ambulance service, which comes free of cost to those who use it, said it has received requests from other parts of the country to start services there. The virus has spread from cities to villages even less equipped to cope. Limited public health care, including a lack of testing facilities, means the threat is grave in rural areas, home to nearly 70% of India's population of 1.3 billion. Data from India's health ministry showed that total infections have passed 21 million as of Thursday, and the overall death toll climbed above 230,000, a tally experts believe vastly underestimates the actual total.
Here in the Philippines, a ship that originally came from India had to make an emergency stop in Manila after some of its crew members test positive for COVID-19. Some of the patients are Filipinos. Jackie Manabat now joins us for more details. Jackie, what else can you tell us?
12 out of 21 Filipino crew members tested positive for COVID-19 arrived aboard a container vessel at Athens Bridge yesterday. Two of the 12 of those tested positive are in critical condition and were brought to a medical facility last night. The other 10 who were also infected with the virus are staying inside the vessel, along with the other 9 who are not infected. And Marina OIC Office of the Deputy Administrator for Planning, Captain Jeffrey Salon, assured that these crew, they have individual cabins, they have enough food and water, and medical equipment and oxygen tanks were also brought aboard the ship. According to the vessel's shipping agent, this MV Athens bridge stayed docked in India for 2 days before they departed from India last April 22nd. They docked at Vietnam on April 27th, and this is where they said, the crew members said they felt symptoms, and so they underwent COVID-19 RT-PCR test that was on May 1. So the vessel was diverted to the Philippines following the release of the COVID-19 results showing half of the all Filipino crew tested positive. Solon said that the vessel was already in transit even before the IATF's ruling banning the entry of those who traveled in India for the past 14 days. Solon added that because this is an all-Filipino crew, they decided to welcome the vessel. However, the vessel is still at sea. It's more than 10 kilometers away from Sangli, Cavite, and Manila Bay. And the Philippine Coast Guard also assured that there is security to ensure that no unauthorized vessel or bangka will approach the vessel. Back to you.
Yes, Jackie, how long are they expected to stay moored here in Manila?
Well, it depends on the results of the test that was conducted yesterday. Because yesterday, when they did the medical evacuation, the remaining crew members in the ship underwent another round of RT-PCR tests. So we're waiting for the results of those tests today. And if they tested positive, that's another round of a quarantine period for them, or it depends on what situation they are in. And if they tested negative, they'll be cleared to continue with the business with another destination.
All right. Jackie Manabat there joining us on the line. Thanks, Jackie. Take care and you keep safe. Moving on, the Justice Department gives its take on the recent directive of President Duterte for police to arrest those who are not wearing face masks or those wearing them improperly in public. Justice Secretary Minato Guevara says arrests can only be made if there are laws or ordinances violated. Palace spokesperson Harry Roque echoes this view.
So yung pag-aresto naman po, dapat po sang-ayon po yan sa ordinansa o sang-ayon sa batas. Kung wala pong ordinansa, ay nakasaad naman po sa revised penal code, no, na maximum of 12 hours. No? At kung hindi makasuhan, ay kinakailangan pawalan.
All right, let's now talk to Nabota City Mayor Toby Tianco for his take on the president's order to arrest face mask violators. Good to have you with us again, Mayor Tianco. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Carmina. Yes, good afternoon.
All right, so let's talk about this. How doable is it really for mayors like you to arrest those who are violating to arrest those who are not wearing face masks? Did you really take on this directive of the president once you heard it?
Okay, just to make it clear, no. Number one, I heard about it because your staff texted me about it earlier. Pero wala na talaga akong time magbasa ng news or anything. So unless there's a written directive, I'm not totally aware about it. Number two, even without the directive of the president, mayors are duty bound to implement ordinances enacted by the local council, di ba po? So in Botas, there is really an ordinance na pinapagbawal yung hindi pagsuot ng face mask, yung hindi pagsunod sa social distancing. So dahil may ordinance ang ganyan, katungkulan po ng executive branch of the local government under the office of the mayor na ipatupad po ito.
Mm-hmm.
So yan po ay pinapatupad ng ating mga task force disiplina, yan po ay pinapatupad ng ating PNP, at yan din po ay pinapatupad ng mga barangays. So it's just like any other violation na may ordinansa. For example, yung hindi pagsuot ng helmet, syempre dapat yan hinuhuli, no?
Mm-hmm.
So I think yung konteksto lang, ito naman ay pinapahuli, hindi naman sinasabing ikulong, eh, di ba? Magkaiba yun.
Yun na nga eh.
Naman, yes.
Let's get into that, because some are of the opinion that it is disproportionate. It's a disproportionate action to the violation. What do you think about that?
Hindi naman, I mean, based on my understanding, sinabi lang naman ng presidente, hulihin eh, di ba? Hindi naman hindi pa pwedeng hulihin, hindi naman pa pwedeng hindi hulihin kung may ordinansa. Because ang ibig sabihin nun, yung mga tigapagpatupad ay hindi ginagawa yung kanilang katungkulan. No? But of course, I understand. No? Ang normally, ang complain ng mga kababayan natin dyan, is hirap na nga kami, magpa-fine pa kami, di ba?
Okay.
Kaya nga, Carmina, if you will recall, I think 2 months ago or 1.5 months ago, diba, to avoid that kind of complaint, ginawa namin lahat ng health protocol violations sa Navotas, hindi na nga sila magpa-fine. Pag sila ay nag-violate, ang from fine or community service, dati kasi fine or community service yan.
Mm-hmm.
1.5 months ago or 2 months ago, pinalitan na natin siya na pag sila ay nahuli ng violation ng health protocol, sila ay kailangan mag-undergo ng RT-PCR test.
Mm-hmm.
So wala. Walang cash out sa kanila. So pero kailangan, before they are able to go through the RT-PCR test, kailangan mo muna talagang hulihin at isyuhan ng or OBR or ng ticket.
Pero dyan ba sa Navotas, Mayor, are there still people who are not wearing masks in public?
Mas konti na ngayon. Hindi ko alam bakit parang mas takot sila doon sa RT-PCR test kaysa doon sa fine o doon sa community service. Yesterday, I was reading the report. Ang laki ng binaba ng mga hindi sumusunod. Of course, kahit na anong ordinansa yan o kahit anong regulasyon yan o kahit anong batas yan, laging merong hindi susunod. Ang question lang is bumaba ba o dumadami. Doon sa Navotas, hindi ko alam kung coincidental na because natakot sila sa bagong variant, kaya sila sumusunod, or it's because of the RT-PCR, kaya sila sumusunod. So, ganoon po. Mas kukunti na po ang violators dito sa ano dito sa ordinansa sa hindi tamang pagsuot ng face mask.
Hindi tamang pagsuot, pero lahat may face mask. Wala na kayong nakikita na walang face mask.
Except yung mga bata na nagtakbuhan, yun talaga walang face mask yun. Pero karamihan ng violator, pag binasa ko, it is not wala silang face mask. Kaya nga hindi pa pwede, dati may nag-propose, bakit hindi mo lang bigyan ng face mask?
Oo.
Eh, meron na face mask, kaya lang hindi nga sinusuot ng tama. Eh. Kaya nga ang decision namin doon, ginawa namin from fine to and penalty or community service to RT-PCR test. So, ganun po ang ginawa namin. So, wala silang cash out. So, wala din na pwede sabihin na naghihirap na nga buhay namin. Pinapapenalize pa kami. Hindi na nga. Wala na nga kayong babayaran. RT-PCR test pa namin kayo na libre.
So, sa paningin ninyo, Mayor, wala namang may masama pa dun sa direktiba ng Pangulo na arestuhin ang mga hindi sumusuot ng face mask or hindi nakasuot ng face mask at kung nakasuot man ay hindi tama ang pagkasuot nito?
Sa tingin, okay, number one, sabi ko nga, kahit walang utos ng Pangulo, duty-bound ang executive branch of the government, whether it be the national government o the local government, na pag may batas o pag may ordinansa, dapat ipapatupad yan, whether or not may utos ang Pangulo. Obligasyon po yan. Number two, sa tingin ko, baka doon na naman may problema sa translation o baka doon sa arestuhin, baka ang ibig sabihin, hulihin. Diba? Baka yun naman ang ibig sabihin. Parang ano yan? Parang violator ng no helmet, parang jaywalking. Eh talagang dapat naman hulihin yon.
Diba? But kasi, Mayor, we're also still reeling from that incident wherein a health protocol violator died because he was subjected to intense exercise once he got arrested. Siguro yun din po ang kinakatakot ng mga iba, no? Na baka ganun na naman yung mangyari. Hulihan, tapos you arrest them, and then what happens?
Hindi, kaya nga ang paalala namin lagi doon sa mga enforcers sa Navotas, kahit police yan, barangay, is strictly adhere to the ordinance, no? Huwag tayong mag-imbento ng sarili niyong patakaran. Kasi di ba, ito hula ko lang, no, Carmina? Baka kasi, yung nahuling yon, baka mamaya may penalty, di ba? Sabi siguro, I mean, naguhula lang ako, ba't pina-exercise? So sinabi mag-exercise ka lang, mag-push up ka lang, baka ganun. Di ba sometimes that happens, eh, di ba? Parang kahit wala doon sa ordinansa, sasabihin nila because they think it's a lesser penalty. Yung enforcer, pag naawa, sabihin, ganito lang gawin mo. Sige, mag-push up ka 10 beses. Hindi pala, may sakit sa puso yun. Di namatay. I mean, I'm just guessing. Kaya ang laging sinasabi namin, kahit maganda yung inyong intention, it is not the time. No? Ang kailangan, isundin nyo yung ordinansa to the letter. Kung ano yung penalty, yun yung sundin nyo. Kasi yung mga magandang intention was taken into consideration already nung ginagawa yung ordinansa. Kasi pag iniba nyo yung parusa, whether you think it is a lighter penalty at nagka-problema, mananagot ka agad kayo agad dyan. Kasi wala namang kayong karapatan na gawin yan. Hindi katulad yung sinunod nila kung ano yung nasa ordinansa, lagi kayong nasa tama.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so consistent sa sinasabi ni Justice Secretary Minardo Guevara and ni Secretary Harry Roque that it has to be consistent with the ordinance, with the local ordinance passed by the LGU. I want to move on to another topic, Mayor, kasi ito rin yung pinag-usapan natin to almost 2 weeks ago, and that's the entry of the variant first detected in India. Ito na. Nangyari na na merong mga travelers, passengers who have travel history to India, although we still are not certain yet if the variant that they do have is the double mutation found in India. Mm-hmm. But I want to know what your thoughts are, considering this was the fear that you had a couple of weeks ago, but now it's become reality. What are your thoughts, Mayor?
Hindi, talagang dapat number one, strictuhan. Kasi strictuhan yung borders natin, no? The problem is you don't know if each and every passenger who comes in passed by India or not, di ba? So he can come from Hong Kong, he can come from somewhere else, pero hindi mo alam before that nanggaling sa India. Ang hirap talaga is-screen yan, no? So siguro dapat talaga stricto tayo doon sa borders natin. At hindi ko alam po doon sa ating mga health officials kung sinasabi nilang 14 days is safe, baka nga kailangan talaga ibalik yung 14-day quarantine period at bago lumabas doon sa 14-day quarantine period, RT-PCR. Yun ang aking proposal.
In your city, how are you preparing for the possible influx of cases again, given the news of this, the entry of the passengers with travel history to India? Ito ba'y pinaghahandaan ninyo at papaano?
Actually, to be very honest, once nakalusot yan doon sa border at nakapasok yan dito, ang hirap ng control niyan. Di ba, we've seen it so many times. Mm-hmm. We've seen it from the start of the pandemic. We've seen it during the middle of the pandemic. Pag nakapasok niya yung new variant, ang hirap na i-control. If you will recall, I said before that we noticed napakabilis ng hawaan, but we didn't know why. Kasi kahit yung genomic sequencing is 14 days. Mm-hmm. So pag yan nakapasok at nakalusot doon sa borders natin, bago natin matuklasan yan, ang dami ng nahawaan. We will notice that it's a different variant kasi iba yung characteristics na from the original variant, biglang nagkahawaan doon sa loob ng bahay. Ito, ang nakakatakot dito sa Indian variant, bago natin malaman na nahandito na siya, manonotice muna natin na marami na mamatay. Which is scarier than doon sa UK variant na at saka Brazilian variant na madami nagkakahawaan. So yan yung nakakatakot yan.
So how is Navotas preparing for it?
Actually, we're trying to monitor, no? Kasi nagbibigay naman na lagi yung DOH. Katulad kahapon, meron silang pinadalang memo sa amin, sinasabi na may dumating na UK and Brazilian variant na dumaan sa airport, so i-monitor namin. So minomonitor namin yon. Pero ang hirap talaga once nakapasok na yan dito. Sana naman wag ngayon kasi bumababa na talaga yung cases natin. Ang hirap na naman kung babalik ulit tayo dun sa pataas na kaso.
You know what's happening in India, right? That there's been looting of oxygen cylinders, people being transported through rickshaws. I was talking to DOH Undersecretary Virgere yesterday, and she did say that it's being communicated to LGUs as to where you can find oxygen cylinders or suppliers. Nakuhaan niyo ba yan? Are you also preparing in that way that you know where to go just in case it hits you?
Yes, but the problem is if I mean, may limited din naman yung capacity ng mga of medical oxygen suppliers, di ba? Hindi naman unlimited yan eh.
Oh.
So there's also a limit to that. No? So even if we know where it is, pag dumami yung cases, there's a limit to what they can supply, how many tanks they can supply, di ba? Hmm. So it's not a matter of knowing where to get it. It's a matter really of stopping it from coming in. Doing everything and stopping it from coming in. Kasi kahit alam mo yung oxygen supplier, kung ang dami nyo nang nag-aagawan, eh problema rin. Parang hospital bed lang yan, di ba?
Mm-hmm.
Kahit alam mo kung saan yung hospital, kung wala na namang hospital bed, baliwala din.
Okay, well, I guess we just have to continue to monitor the situation. In the meantime, we're going to have to leave it at that. Nabota City Mayor Toby Tianco, as always, thanks for joining us. Take care and keep safe.
Thank you. Keep safe.
Thank you. Bye. Appreciate it. More doses of China's vaccines arrive in the Philippines. 1.5 million Sinovac jabs were delivered Friday morning. Health Secretary Francisco Duque III and Vaccine Chief Carlito Galvez Jr. received the latest shipment. 800,000 doses have been allocated to hospitals in the NCR Plus area. Overall, Sinovac has delivered 5 million doses of its vaccine to the Philippines. 1 million of the jabs were donated by the Chinese government. Meanwhile, Secretary Galvez confirms some 2 million doses of AstraZeneca's vaccines are arriving this Saturday. An initial 193,000 doses of Pfizer's vaccines are expected to arrive on May 11th. The palace backtracking on President Duterte's statement regarding China's Sinopharm COVID-19 vaccine. See, the president had asked China to take the drugs back and to replace them with Sinovac's vaccines. That's after he was criticized for using Sinopharm, which is still unregulated here in the Philippines. The palace now says it will be keeping some of the 1,000 Sinopharm doses donated by China and that President Duterte will still use it for his second dose. Duterte earlier insisted there was nothing illegal about his use of the Chinese vaccine, which is covered by a compassionate use permit. Russia creates its own one-shot COVID-19 vaccine. The so-called Sputnik Light is 79.4% effective against the disease. It costs just under $10 a dose. Meanwhile, Novavax says it has agreed to start shipping doses of its COVID-19 vaccine to the COVAX program in the third quarter of this year. Novavax will manufacture 350 million shots, while India's Serum Institute will provide the remainder of the 1.1 billion shots. The COVAX facility is a global initiative aimed at providing access to COVID-19 vaccines for poorer countries. The European Union backs a U.S. proposal to waive the patent protections for COVID-19 vaccines. The president of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, says such a move will further accelerate vaccinations globally as it will help the bloc export more shots to other countries. But Germany, the EU's biggest economic power and home to a large pharmaceutical sector, rejects the idea. Germany says the current vaccine shortages are due to limited production capacities and not patent protection issues. Drug makers who stand to lose much revenue if they are stripped of their patent rights are also opposing the proposal. An expert also says waiving these patents will set a bad precedent.
It's because of scientific research that we now have drugs and treatments and medicaments and vaccines. But it's because of the patents that companies keep investing money into looking for new treatments, better vaccines, better drugs. And you would not have this kind of investment if there wasn't a proper reward for these companies. So the patent system was invented for this system. And I think it's, if I may say so, a bit silly to try and reinvent it now. If it were possible for the waiver to come into force tomorrow. Personally, I don't think that it would make that much of a difference because the real bottleneck is not the patents. It's the kind of knowledge, experience, technology, equipment, know-how, training of personnel that you need to manufacture these vaccines.
South Africa and India made the initial waiver proposal at the World Trade Organization in October, gathering support from many developing countries. A return to normalcy slowly being felt across the United States. Los Angeles easing coronavirus restrictions as it moves to the yellow tier, or the least restrictive classification. This means businesses such as restaurants, gyms, and movie theaters can increase capacity to up to 50%. Bars are now allowed to offer indoor services for the first time since July 2020, but only at 25% capacity. California plans to fully reopen its economy on June 15 if COVID-19 hospitalizations remain low and stable. We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, protests mark World Health Workers Day in the Philippines, with activists calling on government to protect COVID-19 frontliners. Dateline Philippines will return after the break. Stay with us here on ANC. We're back. There's still a Dateline Philippines. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Nearly half of coronavirus tests in Nepal turn out positive, the surge being attributed to neighboring India. Meanwhile, a ship from India makes an emergency stop in Manila after a dozen of its Filipino crew gets infected with COVID-19. Two top palace officials seeing a legal issue with President Duterte's order to arrest face mask violators. And a U.S. proposal to waive the patent protections for COVID-19 vaccines gets the support of the EU. Back with more news, activists mark World Health Workers Day by protesting the lack of protection for health workers amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Among those who took part this Friday, or in the Friday protests at the Welcome Rotonda, a House Deputy Minority Leader and Bayan Muna Representative Carlos Isagani Zarate. The protesters called on the government to regularize health workers and to provide better benefits and pay for them. Meanwhile, the concerned artists of the Philippines will hold a more intimate and somber event to honor COVID-19 victims this Mother's Day. The so-called Damay at Dangal virtual event will turn to prayers, music, and art to grieve for those who lost their lives to the pandemic.
Behind the numbers, and we're talking of as high as 27,000 who died last year to COVID-related or COVID diseases, according to the Philippine Statistics Authority, much higher than the 9,000 officially stated by the Department of Health. And we hope that there will be more people joining this National Day of Mourning as a starting point to reflect on why so many people have to die during this pandemic. And what could we do to avoid it? How do we improve our health system? How do we make sure that, you know, ayuda is given as fast and as soon as possible? So it's going to be prayer, mourning, but also reflection, and hopefully to make a stand for a better nation.
State insurer PhilHealth has paid over 400 million pesos in debt to the Philippine Red Cross. From over 800 million pesos last month, PhilHealth now owes Red Cross just 399 million pesos. But Red Cross Chairman Senator Richard Gordon notes PhilHealth's debt is still increasing for every COVID-19 test it conducts. Meanwhile, Gordon warns of a possible shortage in medical oxygen, similar to the situation being experienced in India.
Huwag na natin balakihin para hindi alanganin. Kasi naman nakukuha ang pera dyan, katulad dyan, nagagastos sa amin sa mga ospital, nagagastos sa amin sa mga kailangan gawin. For example, nag-iisip kami na kung bigla, alang hindi mo na itatanong, tamaan tayo katulad ng India, di cylinder rin yung ating mga oxygen sa ospital . At sinasabi sa inyo, nagmahal ang cylinders na ang ating oxygen. Mga pasyente, pati Red Cross, pag namimili dati, 7,000, 5,000, may 3,000 pa nga. Umabot na ng 13,000, tapos isang araw, 25,000.
Over in Baguio City, 27 horses in the popular Wright Park succumbed to a disease known as swamp fever. Micaela Ilaw is now on the line to tell us more about this. Micaela, what happened there?
Carmina, an equine viral disease, or known as swamp fever, has shown up in Baguio, and horse owners are worried about its effects on their businesses. The city veterinary office confirmed yesterday that 21 out of 58 horses in the city have tested positive for equine infectious anemia, or EIA. Swamp fever is incurable, according to Dr. Bridget Piok, the city's veterinarian. A horse found to have the disease can only be quarantined or put down. An investigation had to be done last week after the reported death of 27 horses from March to April, which the authorities found highly alarming. Tests are still currently being done to contain the spread of the virus. Swamp fever is caused by a virus that produces symptoms in horses such as weight loss, bleeding, and swelling of the legs and chest. The virus can spread through the blood by biting horse flies. The local government already released Executive Order No. 56, series of 2021, requiring the mandatory isolation of all six horses in the city. Although EIA is not transmissible to human, it is still a notifiable disease listed in the World Health Organization and must be reported to public health authorities due to health risks, according to the released executive order. 250 horses in Wright Park need to be monitored. These horses are mainly used for tourism and considered as one of the main attractions in the city. Reporting from Baguio, Micaela Ilaw, ABS-CBN News.
Thanks a lot, Micaela. Take care and you keep safe. Moving on, retired Supreme Court Associate Justice Antonio Carpio accepting President Rodrigo Duterte's challenge for a debate on the West Philippine Sea issue. Duterte tagged Carpio and former Foreign Affairs Chief Albert Del Rosario as those responsible for losing contested areas to China. The former magistrate says he is ready to prove the chief executive wrong.
Like a presidential debate that he went through during the campaign, when he said, I will jet ski to Scarborough and plant the Philippine flag. He asked for it, and yes, I will accept, without hesitation.
The Philippine Bar Association has offered to moderate the debate. A maritime law expert not expecting the debate between former Supreme Court Associate Justice Antonio Carpio and President Duterte to push through. Professor J. Batombacal says Duterte has issued challenges before, only for him or his officials to take them back. As for the West Philippine Sea issue, Batombacal warns Duterte's belittling of Manila's 2016 arbitral victory contributes greatly to China's aims of diminishing that ruling.
Let's just say that his understanding of the issue is simply that power prevails over law, no? Especially international relations, according to him. No? That seems to be the sense that he's trying to convey, no, in making these statements. And that is not good for the Philippines over the long run, because as a small nation with less resources, less population, less, it's smaller size, no? That means that the Philippines has actually no hope at all, no, in dealing with more powerful neighbors.
And for more on that possible debate between President Duterte and former Supreme Court Justice Antonio Carpio on the West Philippine Sea, we're now joined by the president of the Philippine Bar Association, Attorney Rick Domingo. Attorney Domingo, thank you for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Carmina, for having me.
All right. So let's talk about this. How serious were you in offering to host this debate between President Duterte and former Supreme Court Justice Antonio Carpio? Was that said in jest, or were you really serious?
We're very serious about this. This is a serious matter, as you know, Carmina. This involves national interest that the people of the Philippines should know of. And we are not kidding. We are very serious in offering our good offices for the president and the justice to come up with a very dispassionate discussion. Mm. We would like to start a national conversation about the real issues and what should be the real remedies available to us.
you know, when news broke out about the challenge and when the challenge was accepted and then the hosting, the offer to host, a lot of people really reacted to it. But let me ask you this. Why should this debate take place? There are those who say it may not take place because the president might just again withdraw this challenge. But to you, why should this take place?
This should take place primarily because the Filipino people are confused. In fact, they're even perplexed. Why are they hearing narratives that are different? We need to have a cohesive, a clear, a coherent, transparent, definitive, and transparent definition of the issues and the remedies available to us. We cannot quarrel, as one of our brothers in the profession said. We have to be together. And this debate, which we hope will push through, will give the president and the justice, who are differing in their views, the proper vehicle for them to articulate the respective opinions on the matter. And the final arbiter of this would be, of course, the Filipino people.
Yeah.
Just to show you and dramatize to you, Carmina, when we issued this release, the Philippine Bar Association issued this release, at 6 o'clock, we got 17,000 within the hour likes and friends. So you could see the keen interest of the Filipino people on this.
Mm. You said a while ago that, you know, the Filipino people are confused regarding the issues surrounding the West Philippine Sea. To your mind, what led to this confusion?
The presentations publicly given by the proponents of or even the antagonists would be different. They may have a very good faith attitude towards this by presenting the real issues on the dispute on the West China Sea or West Philippine Sea, as the case may be. But they have not really come up with a more concrete, as mentioned, a clear, coherent, and cohesive plan how to address this.
Hmm.
And they come out to the point that even they are uttering cuss words. We in the association believe that we should raise the bar of discussion, strike a new national conversation on this with a dispassionate conversation and articulation of the disputes and the issues and the remedies surrounding those disputes.
That in itself is a challenge. I mean, you want to raise the bar of discussion, and yet people also think that it's high time for everyone to make it an issue of their own. I mean, it is out there. It's being talked about, but it has yet to remain a gut issue for majority of the people. What are your thoughts regarding that?
Without in any way undermining the impact of the present COVID-19 pandemic, where about almost 18,000 or more of our countrymen had already perished, without undermining that. And I think the national focus right now is on how we can address this national pandemic. Okay, But do you realize that the incursions of the Chinese vessels and the imminence of their attacking us, if we resist their aggressive actions, would lead to them using the nuclear armaments that can annihilate 112 million people, the Filipino people, and the imminence there. What will happen to the future generation of Filipinos, or even our apos, our children?
Mm.
That's exactly what we are trying to say here. They do not realize at this point the imminence of the threat, and we go by roundabout discussions on this matter without any definitive, clear, and cohesive solution on this. We don't have to go to war, Carmina. We don't have to go to war. Last Friday, we had a webinar, if you attended that webinar, and we, the Philippine Bar Association, invited international law experts, Dr. Brendan Plant from University of Cambridge, and of course, Professor Julian Koo. And of course, we also invited Justice Carpio for the Philippine side. But we had a balanced discussion on this. There are other remedies, non-military, that may be resorted to by the Philippines. One of them is refer the matter to the Security Council. Now, the doomsayer will say, well, we'll never go farther because we have the Chinese, vetoing the any resolution that we pass there. But we can go to the UN General Assembly. There's one precedent there. One of the precedents says would be Nicaragua went to the General Council after having been rebuffed by the Security Council and got a majority vote of the UN General Council against what? The United States of America. Okay? That's something we can cite. And that has not been seriously considered by the government, and that has not been seriously proposed by any proponents here except some views expressed by the other camps.
Attorney Domingo, there are doubts that as much as this debate is needed, that it won't take place, primarily because the challenger will just withdraw the challenge. Talk to us about why the president should remain true to his words and remain true to his challenge that this debate should push through. Talk to us about why he shouldn't withdraw this challenge. Go ahead.
You shouldn't withdraw, number one, because he's a lawyer. Both of these protagonists are lawyers. In fact, one of them, Justice Carpio, is a longtime member of the Philippine Bar Association. If they are really true to the words lawyers, members of the what they call the most revered legal profession, they should be true to their word. In fact, in Canon 1 of the Code of Professional Ethics, we're supposed to enforce and abide and enforce the Constitution, the provisions of the Constitution, as well as the laws of the land. The arbitral ruling is one of the laws of the land because we have already a favorable arbitral ruling in our midst in 2016. The president should abide by that. Justice Carpio should abide by that. So this would be a good forum for them to articulate their respective views on how to abide by and what these strategies are and what remedies do we have in the context of the arbitral ruling.
If the president withdraws, Attorney Domingo, what does that tell you?
I cannot second guess. I am still hoping against hope that the president will, in good faith, accept our invitation to host. Justice Carpio had already accepted it without any condition at the convenience of the president. The Philippine Bar Association is eagerly awaiting the response, affirmative response of the president on this. And as we said, we can design the debate in a way that will be agreeable to both parties. We can design the debate such that the only pivotal and core issues that the president would like to be addressed will be presented during the debate.
Okay, so give us a sneak preview before we let you go. The president said he only needs three questions. To your mind, what should these three questions be?
Well, I cannot second guess what the president... I don't think the president had enumerated the three resolutions, right? The three issues.
But what about you? What do you think should be discussed?
Well, I don't know, really. I don't want to be leaning towards any political position on this because the Philippine Bar Association is neutral on this. We want a dispassionate discussion. But I think it has something to do in relation to the enforcement of the West China Sea, the arbitral rulings, and the presence of the Chinese militia vessels in the our territorial waters. And, of course, our exclusive economic zone.
All right. We're going to have to leave it at that. It was a pleasure talking to you. Great hearing your insights, Attorney Domingo, President of the Philippine Bar Association. You take care. You keep safe.
You
Thanks
too,
again.
Carolina. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Moving on, the Philippine Human Rights Commission optimistic about improved ties with the Philippine National Police under its new chief, Lieutenant General Guillermo Eliazar. Commissioner Roberto Cadi says Eliazar often engages the CHR in human rights dialogues. Cadi is hoping the police force will finally give them more access to documents, particularly those pertaining to Duterte's bloody war on drugs. He also hopes Eliazar will file administrative cases against erring cops.
I personally can see the sincerity whenever we dialogue with him to be more respectful of human rights. Pero naintindihan din natin yung konteksto na meron tayong culture of impunity within the PNP. And also because of the statements of the president regarding EJ case, no, in the context of the drug war. So, ang challenge dito kay new PNP Chief Eliazar ay kung paano niya babalansihin yung kanyang pagpatupad sa kanyang tungkulin.
In Europe, a dispute over post-Brexit fishing rights has France and the UK deploying their navies. Here's the full story.
France and Britain deployed maritime patrol vessels to the waters off the Channel Island of Jersey on Thursday as a dispute over post-Brexit fishing rights escalated. The EU is calling for calm after a flotilla of French trawlers sailed in protest to Jersey's main harbour, and a French minister suggested earlier in the week that Paris might cut electricity to the island. French fishermen say they are being unfairly deprived of access to rich fishing grounds off the coast of Jersey, which is a self-governing British Crown dependency. Jersey says it is following the rules for issuing licences set out in Britain's post-Brexit trade deal with the European Union. This French fisherman was among those protesting off St Helier. He fears that 80% of French boats will disappear after the row.
It's going to be difficult to work. It's impossible. If the agreements don't go back to normal, we're not going to be able to survive. You'll see 50% of the boats. Even more than that, 80% of the French boats, which will disappear.
The representative of Normandy fisherman Hugo Lehubi said a delegation of French fishing port representatives were met by Jersey's foreign minister, but the talks were one-sided and that no progress had been made. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson said the two Royal Navy vessels would remain off Jersey as a precautionary measure. Jersey's government said Johnson had assured it of his unwavering support.
U.S. President Joe Biden ramping up his campaign to promote his spending plans. His latest stop, the Gulf Coast state of Louisiana, where he touted his plans to invest in water and storm projects in cities that have been battered by hurricanes. Biden has been pushing for his $2.25 trillion infrastructure spending plan and a $1.8 billion education and childcare proposal.
The Chinese are eating our lunch. They're eating our lunch economically. They're investing hundreds of billions of dollars in research and development. That's why right now, if it keeps going the way, they're going to own the electric car market in the world. They're going to own a whole range. We got to compete. And it doesn't cost anybody anything and deprive anybody of anything they have earned or deserve.
Meralco is set to hike rates for the month of May. The power distributor is implementing a nearly 20 centavo per kilowatt hour increase. Typical households that consume 200 kilowatts per hour monthly will see an increase of about 37 pesos in their bills. The imposition of additional rates is partly due to a slight increase in generation charge. In sports, the Dallas Mavericks move closer to clinching an NBA playoff berth. Luka Doncic led Dallas's balanced defensive attack in their 113-109 win over the Brooklyn Nets. Doncic had 24 points, while five other teammates finished in double figures. That negated the 45-point explosion of Brooklyn's Kyrie Irving. The Mavericks improved to 38-28, good for fifth place in the Western Conference. The Washington Wizards have also virtually booked their ticket to the NBA's play-in tournament. That's after they defeated the Toronto Raptors in overtime, 131-129. With the loss, the Raptors are now four games back of the Wizards for the 10th and last play-in spot in the East, with just five games left on their schedule. Meanwhile, Washington's Russell Westbrook is now just one triple-double away from tying Oscar Robertson's career record of 181. Westbrook had 13 points and 17 boards plus 17 assists, his 34th triple-double this season. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Pramina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe, you guys. Keep it here on ANC.